what a good time it is to gather in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you again for drawing us, Lord. You draw us, hallelujah, by your love, by your grace, and by your mercy. Lord, wake us up a little bit more today. God, just expand the abounding hope of the coming of the Lord today. Let the Spirit reign, God, and let us just hear, yea, the deep things of God. Let it minister individually and personally, Lord Jesus. Quicken hearts, God. Renew minds, hallelujah. Change lives from glory to glory into the very image of you. And it's going to be by the word of the Lord. And we thank you, Father, that all that word is from the word of our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise be to God. I'm going to begin reading from Revelation chapter 22 this morning. And in the 12th verse, we'll begin in that scripture. And Revelation 22, 12 tells us, "Behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Every man according to his work shall be. Now you come Wednesday night and you're going to see how specifically this little portion of scripture is pertaining to the millennial time. But I'm praising God today that he's coming soon. I'm thanking God that we know that there is a trump and a first trump rapture that's about ready to happen. And I praise God that in his coming, and he's coming for those mature sons, let me tell you something, he's bringing a reward. He's bringing, hallelujah, he the bridegroom reward. But we know too that there's going to be different rewards. We know that the sinner, they're going to receive the lake of fire. But I want you to know this, for his sons, it's all about reward. It's all about reward. Now notice here, the reward is according to every man's work. And let's understand as we begin today what is meant by this work. This means the thing accomplished, the thing performed, what the word accomplishes and performs in you. And simply what it comes down to is how much will you believe what Jesus, the word, has told you? How much will you believe what the word of the Lord tells you? Ephesians 2:10. What a precious, wonderful portion of scripture. It says, "Therefore we are his workmanship." Did you notice that? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So first off, I'm going to ask you, who does the work? He does. Praise God. We are his workmanship. He does the work. And then you see, not only does he do the work, but he's so faithful, he's so amazing, he gives all the good works of our lives that were created for us in ages past to walk in. Isn't that amazing? This is quite a savior here, because it only gets better. Not only, again, does he do the work, not only did he create the good works, but by faith, as it tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. He does the work. He created the good works for us. And by faith, we walk in them. Think of that. I mean, that's amazing, is it not? That's called the grace of God. That's called it served up on a platter for us. Amen? That's a life, brothers and sisters, that I'll tell you what, we've received his purpose, his provision, his passion, his power. I'm about convinced there's no excuse for us but to have a full reward. Amen? Amen. If I miss this, I have no one else to blame but me. If I miss this, I got entangled with the cares of this life. And let's be honest what this life means. I got entangled with the cares of me. That's right. I want to be embraced and embrace the cares of Him, which happens to be me. Isn't that amazing? But I want to be, again, about the things that He cares for me. And how sweet, brothers and sisters, we see here, we just believe. Everything is about the one thing, and that's the Word. Everything in our life. Everything. And it's the growth of truth in love in you. It's the growth of truth on fire in you. Oh, yeah. Don't you love truth on fire? Oh, I love truth on fire on a Friday night. But I love truth on fire, too, and it's chasing in my life. Have you ever had truth on fire? Where it kind of sets you on fire when you're going the wrong way. Woo! That's not a good place to go. That's truth on fire. Fiery love for you. He chastens His sons. It deals with us in that beautiful chastening of our hearts, brothers and sisters. But we need to have truth abounding in believing in us. Not just in my head, but believing truth. Believing the Word of God. Believing it for me and believing it for my brother. For my sister, praise God. Knowing that if He be for us, who could be against us? And the reason we're emphasizing this, well, is because of the grace of God. But the reason is because the grace of God wants us to be ready. The coming of the bridegroom is upon us. If you haven't noticed, He said, when you see these things come to pass and begin to come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. There's so many signs in the world. But I'm so thankful I'm caught up in the groanings in the vessels that are getting ready to take flight. There's a building of, I love to think of it this way, the Spirit's euphoria. It's just like this bursting, praise God, of joy and believing and, you know, the thankfulness of the Word of the Lord that we know. We're beginning to rejoice in our infirmities, are we not? Amen. Yeah, you haven't gone nuts. You're just beginning to believe the Lord. You're allowing His mind to reign in you. Amen? You're understanding what your life is about. You're understanding, praise God, it's about the Word of the Lord. And it's not any longer that, Lord, I'm trying to get away from it. It's, Lord, I'm just jumping into it. I get it. I know this. I know You in the power of Your resurrection. I know You in the fellowship of Your sufferings. And by Your grace, I'm being made conformable, hallelujah, unto Your death. Hallelujah. Christ in me, the hope of glory is coming forth. There's a joy unspeakable and full of glory to the people of God. Yes, hallelujah. We realize we don't live down here in a big sense. We're seated in the heavens in Christ, praise God. But brothers and sisters, we emphasize this right now because the coming of the bridegroom is upon us. We know that it's near. And we must fight a good fight and fight a good fight of faith. And that good fight of faith is believing. Been so encouraged of this. Just whispering it to my ears. Honey, have faith in my faithfulness. Have faith in my faithfulness. Believe in my all-powerful grace to perform it all. And don't be tossed to and fro. Don't be double-minded, son. Just continue on in the stuff. Do not be moved. Oh, don't be moved. Don't be distracted. And as it says in 2 John 1:8, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. See, I don't want just any reward. I want a full reward. See, Paul talked about, I fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, I finished my course. And he said, now there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And I have to tell you, there's certain portions of Scripture, the Spirit has to sit me down and says, okay, now, I got something to tell you. And then you go on searching in there and how the Word of the Lord comes forth. And see, that's, you could say, well, that expression, it's Greek to me. Well, that was written in Greek, and by the grace of God, get in there and understand a few of these Greek words, and let it be Greek to you. Because I'm telling you, those words in the Greek, oh my. See, it's not to know Greek, don't get me wrong. I've seen ones go after knowing things that they thought that somehow by understanding a language they would know the Lord more intimately. I've seen them drift off and drift away. It's unfortunate. Don't put your confidence ever in your knowledge or man's wisdom. It will fail you every time. But if the Spirit of the Lord gets on you and says, hey, we're going to look this up together, then that's a time to take note. And where he talks about that crown of righteousness, if you look that up, it means an exalted rank of righteousness crown. Isn't that something? That's what he wants for me. See, this came from my Father to the lover of my soul, his Son. And it came down to me. So I've got a dad that loves me like no dad could ever love me. And then I've got a bridegroom that loves me like I just can't even explain it. And this is what they want me to have. Because the Lamb of God finished and won it all for me on that cross. And I have to tell you, with that great love for this vessel right here, I can't say, give me that double portion. Let me have it all. I want a full reward because you want me to have that. You want me to take that and to be glorified together with you in that. By taking that place, by taking hold of that, laying hold by the grace of God, that mercy and that love and that grace, I'm giving him all the glory. And in that plan, I'm glorified together with him. Isn't that amazing? We were rejoicing the other night on Wednesday night when, you know, about that Philadelphia church. It so wonderfully said, I'm going to make them of the synagogue of Satan. I'm going to make them come up to thy feet, bow down and worship before your feet. And I was so grateful to God given that wonderful vision of that time when, you know, hell's going to give up the dead and all those things that didn't believe in the Lord. And everything of a lie is going to be right there before him. And she's going to be with him. She will be with him. And every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. And she's going to be there with him, receiving glory with him as they say, he is Lord. My husband is Lord. Oh, what a time that'll be. I remember Mama rejoicing as they would recognize, which they did very few times, my dad and different things that he'd do in life. And she was so thankful, so happy. And I remember, and it was so sad, but such a rejoicing to my heart when my daddy went to be with Jesus. So many years later, I saw Mama sitting at the table, and she had her little letterhead. And she was just, and it was a little embossed, it come up a little bit. She kept rubbing her little hand across it and her fingers. And I looked over and I said, Mama, what are you doing? And she says, oh, I love your daddy's name. I love his name. I love being Mrs. John Odorsio. Do you love his name like that? Don't you love his name like that? Whoa! Woo! It's so wonderful. Now, I'll tell you what. I want that full reward with him. I want it for him and I want it for me. I want it for us. Hallelujah. And he wants it more, but he put that in my heart. And I want to be set apart and I want to be sanctified. You know, that's a big religious word, sanctified. No, that's just a precious word that says two lovers going to get away by themselves. Just get it real simple and easy. We're getting away and we're not going to be bothered. Sanctified. Set apart together with him. Hallelujah. Now, reason that we continue on with this, brothers and sisters, is because we need to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. We know these things, but we need to give more earnest heed to them. You know why? Lest in any time they would slip. And if you don't give earnest heed to the things of the Word of God, it will slip because that's the Word of the Lord. is not something, well, I heard it once, I've got it. And I've heard people tell me that about bridal truth. Oh, I've heard that many times before. It's all, I just don't need to hear it. I got it. No, you know. I've, like I say, just get that thing, you know, you that are married men, and just say, okay, well, honey, you know, we went down here, we got married, we did that. Yeah, you know, see in a couple years. You'd be nuts. That's right. But this is even more nuts. You need to give the more earnest heed. We need to continue to hear this. And I'm going to tell you something. Some of the brethren are starting to get confused about how this sanctification comes about in our lives. Ephesians 2:8 tells us that we're saved by grace through faith. Did you know that? We're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God. It's not of any man's works, your works, or anything like that. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. Isaiah 64:6 tells us all our righteousnesses. That's kind of a fun word to say. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Isn't that something? Make you really understand how Paul said that I would not be found in him having mine own righteousness. Not even one, not necessarily righteousnesses, but even just one. He didn't want that. Amen. Romans 7:18, as Paul had walked with the Lord so many years, he said once again, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. You think he had to be reminded over and over? Amen. And the Lord's good about doing that. We rejoiced with Brother Paul last week, didn't he? He said, Paul, with all those things that you have been revealed, with the knowledge that you have of the love that I have for you and the place that I want you to take with me, if I didn't send a messenger of Satan to buffet you, you would be puffed up. You would be glorified. And you would miss it. You would go off into self-righteousness. So I sent a thorn that's going to humble you, son. You're going to want to get rid of that thorn. You've asked me 3 times to get rid of it. But I'm telling you, it's for your good. Praise God. Now, we love this. Brothers and sisters, we're saved by grace. We go on in grace. And then Paul says to the Galatians, he says, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Isn't that something? They were off and running in Paul's gospel. And then something came in. Maybe they quit giving the more earnest heed to the things that they had heard. And then they slipped. And you know what slipped in? They started believing that their completion, their maturity in Christ, somehow came by the works of the flesh. Isn't that something? But that's the way it will be every time when you start to drift from the grace of God. When you stop looking at the mercy seat, you're going to start looking at yourself. You're going to walk around with your dirty, self-righteous rags instead of coming forward with the blood of the Lamb and saying, oh, thank you, Jesus, you did it all for me. Oh, how wonderful. How wonderful. See, they were messing it up. It's so simple. It's all grace. Romans 11:6 says it like this. If by grace, so if it's by grace, then it's no more of works. Now that's pretty straightforward and simple. If it's by grace, then I'll tell you what, there ain't no work in that. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. All right? But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Paul goes on to say to those same Galatians, he says, the thought of sanctification through self-works is a life that is bewitched. To think that you set yourself apart to God by your good works, your strength, your keeping, your accountability, you're bewitched. there's evil thinking there. Anytime we leave the blood of the Lamb, that's a wicked thought. Now, anyone who would preach that kind of stuff, sanctification through self-works, Paul went on to say, let him be accursed. Paul put himself right in that place too. He said, if I ever come to you and preach any other gospel than the grace of God, that the perfection, the fully grown, mature life of Christ in you would come any other way but by the grace of God, let me be accursed. Amen. So, what's so obvious here is the ones that will have the greatest reward in heaven are the ones who receive the most grace here. Amen. Can we not conclude that? Amen. Is that not why the Lord says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? What is the majority then? It's so sad. What is the majority of Christian man trying to do? Trying to straighten themselves up. Isn't it sad? The only thing that will change you is the grace of God. The only power there is to change you is the grace of God. Thank the Lord. And you be still and you wait upon that. It's not that I sin willfully that grace may abound. You know that. I want to have a testimony that magnifies the Lord. But it's going to be the grace of God that works that in me. It's going to be faith in His word. And that faith works one way. Faith worketh by love. The word of the Lord tells us that, that faith works by love. See, in believing in that wondrous love of Jesus, in that power, in the plan of God. And that's why you need to know it. And not know it so you can just go repeat it. But to know it that you can be a testimony of it living in you. See, think about how Satan comes. And he always does this. He came at Jesus the same way. He tried to twist the word of God. He tries to take little bits and pieces and things out of the word of God to try to somehow change your thinking. Alter the perfect mind, the only one, which is the mind of Christ, and get you to think something different. That's why we need to know the word of God. And as the Lord responded each and every time, it is written. It is written. It is written. But thanks be to God, we do need to hear the truth. We need to know what is written. So we thank God that truly the ones that will receive the greatest reward in heaven will be the ones that receive the most grace. And I have to say, in all this little lifetime that I've lived and hearing this wondrous word of God, the height of His grace is for a life to truly know, I am my beloved's. And His desire is toward me. That, praise God, is all grace. And she, praise God, is the winner. That's the winner. When we really settle down and know, praise God, the love of Christ. See, that's where it comes in. He says that we would know the love of Christ. Talked about it in so many different ways throughout the years. And we've heard it in so many ways. One of the most beautiful ways I've heard is that even as a child, they know that children that are loved in a home, they grow. They grow in confidence, and they have truly, if you will say this, faith in parents. Because those parents love them, and those parents chasten them. They don't just, it's not a free-for-all. No, we love you, and we want to have good times and things, but there's things that will destroy your life, and we're not going to do those things. And I'm going to chasten you that you will not be doing those. And that child grows in confidence. And in confidence of that parent. And they grow with capacity of love. And then a love is mature and ready in that knowledge of love than to love a spouse. And it didn't matter how wonderful it was in that home with mom and dad. how many meals she cooked and how many times that I never had to do the wash or anything like that. It was all done for me. But then this life grew in capacity of love that I fell in love with my spouse. And I wanted to be with her and be with her alone. And that love matured to the point where I left my home to be with her. And I thank God it's that same way in faith and growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we have that confidence that we just go on. We just go on. I appreciate how sister said to her sweet granddaughter. Her granddaughter was all flustered about things going on in their family. And there was grandma, and she seemed to be right at peace. And she said, "Grandma, how are you like that?" And she said, "Oh, honey, I've come to understand things here don't matter much." I believe she's living a little more over there all the time. But now to wrap this up. Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my words. If you love me, you'll keep my words." Not if you love me, you're going to do this and do that and, you know, just show everybody how holy you are. If you love me, you'll keep my words. You'll keep my love letters. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm convinced the only thing I want to do is to keep all his words. And I want to keep especially those words of the Apostle Paul. The words that the Apostle Paul kept, he kept the faith. He kept Jesus' words. The wonderful Philadelphia church, they won because they kept the word of the Lord. And by the grace of God, brothers and sisters, we win too by keeping in first love with the word. In first love. See, our reward, praise God, is a mature, readied wife presented to the Lamb. And I was thinking, Lord, and you said forever to be glorified together with you. And I said, well, Lord, just being together with you forever would be beyond anything I could ask or think. But it's glorified together. Glorified together. And I just said, Lord, praise God, let me let you do this. Let me be nothing but a vessel to the praise and the glory of your grace. As the word of the Lord said, I'm coming and my reward is with me. To give every man according to his work shall be. Lord, perform it in me. Lord, accomplish that thing that you have sent this word. Accomplish it in my life. You've given it all. You've supplied it all. Now let me just rest and stand and just believe. As thou hast believed, how do you believe today? So be it done unto you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you again that you draw our hearts. And Lord, in Jesus' name, God, give us such power today that we draw nigh in full assurance of faith, believing your word. That, Lord, that this is for us. That, Lord, thank you, God, you have sent this to us. That you are performing the good work which you have begun in us. And, Lord, you're preparing us not just for glory with you, but to be the glory for you. And, Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for that calling. Lord, let it strum across our hearts today. Quicken us, Lord God. Don't let an eye even slumber in here this morning. God, what is in the balance right now is beyond any wealth there could ever be. Lord, the exceeding riches of your grace and your kindness. Lord, in the ages to come, to have that fellowship with Christ, my bridegroom. Lord, do not let us be distracted. God, let us not be entangled with any other love. Oh God, let us quit listening to the daughters of Jerusalem that would say, oh, you love him too much. You're too serious about this. This just is something that is so unheard of. But I heard the word of the Lord say it to my heart. I heard the word of the Lord speak it to my ear. And let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith to the church. And to the church of Philadelphia, oh, my coming draweth nigh. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away with me. In Jesus' name, thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, praise God.